Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. Thank you for all that we've seen and heard over the last 2 weeks on this broadcast with Brother David Barton. It has been so rich, Lord, and we give you the praise and the honor, and we thank you for it. And today's broadcast, we open our hearts and minds to hear from heaven. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. David, it has been good, man.
It's been good, bro.
I've seen so many things. I mean, The more you get into the Word, the more you discuss it with one another. Mm-hmm. You remember the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "Faith words nourish." Mm-hmm. When you get was, you know what you need a faith buddy. If you don't have a faith buddy, you need to find you one. Mm-hmm. You need somebody that when you call, say, "I'm so tired," they say, "You shut that up. You're not tired. You're strong in the Lord, the power of your might." Somebody that'll encourage you stay built up together all the time. And I just sit here and I learn more out of these broadcasts than anybody. It just because as it flows, the insight gets larger, mm-hmm. and that's what we've been talking about, really, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is.
David, let's go back and give us an overall overview of what we've talked about here.
For both weeks, we've talked somewhat about visitations of the Lord. This week, we've really been on that and the grace that goes with it. Last week, we were kind of on that because we started out talking about how that God has taken people like Reinhard Bonnke and said, you need to be in America doing some stuff. How that Australia got 100 nations to give to pray and fast for America. We got South Korea sending missionaries to America. We've got Nigeria, all the stuff they're doing in America. So all over the world, God seems to be pointing people to say, America's got some stuff going right now.
Yes,
I need
sir.
You over there. So if that's what God's up to, part of our responsibility becomes, okay, what role do I play in this? Because if I know this is where God's going to show up, and I'm on his team, I've got a responsibility. I'm not an observer. We don't sit in the bleachers on God's team. We're on the bench. We get into the game. So if that be the case, that all these evangelists and all these folks are coming to America, then what do I need to do? And part of it is for us who are believers, we're going to have to say, you know what? There's going to be a whole lot of people come to Christ, and it's good for them to be converted, but they don't know what it means to have Jesus as their Lord yet. So we're going to have to take Reinhard Bonnke and all these folks that he brings to the Lord, and we're going to say, you know, I need to disciple you. Jesus said, I need to make disciples of all men. So I'm going to have to teach you some stuff. I'm going to get you in the Word. I'm going to get you trained. And it takes a mentality set to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start looking for people around me that need to be discipled. You know, I haven't been looking for that up to now. I've been enjoying my faith or going to church, doing whatever I do, listening to the broadcast. I'm going to start finding people that I can impart into. I'm going to find people that need to be discipled.
You know, when an outpouring hits the church, like it's hit our church and others here recently, the glory will get so heavy in there, you'll eventually wind up going. Some churches are going to wind up going to church 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. It's already happening. It's happened in the past.
Yes, it has happened past.
And when that happens, you need all the help you can get.
That's right.
And you need to be believing God. Help your pastor believe God for the finances. It's not enough just to sow your seed. Get in there and pray. Put yourself in his position.
That's right.
God, I'm part of this church. I got faith. Let's believe God. Mm-hmm. And get in and be part of the team.
That's right.
It's big.
And you know, part of what happens too is the team all of a sudden has to go outside the normal expectations of the church.
Mm.
Because, I mean, if you look back at the Great Awakening and what Whitfield did, George Whitfield, and Great Awakening without that revival, a 40-year revival. I mean, we're talking something went from 1730 to 1770. In that period of time, he preached 18,000 sermons.
Oh. David.
Over 32 years.
He literally preached himself to death.
He preached himself to death.
Preached himself.
He made seven missionary journeys from Maine down to Georgia. Do that on horseback, by the way.
Yeah.
And he carried a portable pulpit with him. And so what he was doing was outside the church. Now, churches all benefited from it. No question churches benefited from it. And you had lots of great preachers. You had Jonathan Edwards, and you had Jonathan Mayhew, and Samuel Cooper, and Samuel Davis, and you had Gilbert Tenney. All these preachers, Harry Hoosier, black preacher in the Great Awakening, all these great guys. But he's having all these meetings outside the church. They're in open pastures. They're in open fields. Wherever he goes in, he sets up that pulpit. And grab this. 80% of the people who lived in America physically heard him preach a sermon.
My goodness, dude.
80% heard it. Now, think about technology in those days. 80% heard him preach a sermon.
They didn't have any technology.
They didn't have any technology. So how many places did he have to be in? And it wasn't in churches. He was not speaking in churches. He was speaking outside of churches. And that's where so much growth happens, is you start meeting people outside church and say, you know, here's how you can get your family together. Yeah. Your business is not going well. Here's what you need to know about that. And the trouble you're having with your kids, here's some solutions for that. And once you get people tied into God's Word and God's solutions, then they start wanting to assemble together with other believers. And that's where churches grow. You don't grow from the church. You grow from outside the church, and the church is the beneficiary of that. And so what happens in revivals is God's Word becomes really practical. And so I start finding my auto mechanic and start sharing some scripture with him that he needs to know. And, you know, I find my grocery clerk over there and share some things that she didn't know. And you start doing it outside. And that's part of what's going to happen, because Reinhard Bonnke and all these folks, they're going to bring people to Christ, but they're not going to go to church. That if they were in church, they would already been in church. Church is not meeting their needs. You got to have people that'll disciple them, and as they get discipled, then they want that fellowship and they want that manifestation.
Yeah, then it draws them.
It draws them
to the church God has for
that's
them.
That's right.
Instead of just going somewhere.
And by the way, God's calling out between the sheep and the goats in churches too. There's a lot of churches that don't follow His Word and are not sticking to His Word and not standing for His Word, and they're shrinking right now. The churches, and this is the first time in my lifetime that to stand for God's Word is going to get you beat up in a very real sense, because that means you're going to have to stand for things like marriage. Oh my gosh. And you're going to have to stand for things like life, and things that God takes a stand for, you got to take a stand for.
That's right.
And when you do, that's not popular right now. Yet, those are the churches that are growing. It's like people want some backbone. They want to see backbone. So, and look at that. Part of our responsibility says, okay, where do I fit into this? Because God's got a place. I'm not an observer in this movement that's coming to America. I'm not an observer in God turning this country around. I've got a part in this. I've got to find my part. And we got to start asking that question. And then what we talked about this week kind of ties into that, because once you start trying to fit in, don't try to fit in where everybody else is fitting in, and don't let anybody else define your role. You are an individual. You know, we talked at Tower of Babel, the big thing with them was, let's make bricks. We don't want you to be an individual. We want everybody to fit the mold. No. God's got a spot for you, and we even talked yesterday about following grace, how that God puts a grace in your heart. Amen. And that grace will be different from anybody else's. You'll have a desire to do something nobody else maybe is doing.
Parents, listen up to this.
Yeah, good.
Your child may be showing areas of grace that are not like you. And you may have a real desire for one thing, and you may have a boy that don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
Don't try to force your grace over on or her. Get in there and pray and nourish that and see where they're flowing, and get in there and help them. Pray and believe God, and God will develop that.
There, one of the most astounding scriptures in my thinking is in Deuteronomy 4. Because in Deuteronomy 4, the question is asked, it says, from the creation of the earth, ask the entire creation and see if anything this great has ever happened to this point. And I'm going, everything that's happened up to Deuteronomy 4, okay, we're talking all the stuff, the deliverance, the 10 miracles in Egypt. We're talking raining hailstones out of heaven. We're talking Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. We're talking all of the book of Genesis. We're talking creation.
Yeah.
We're talking some heavy stuff. And the question is, ask and see if any miracle this great has ever been done. And what the miracle was that God spoke to His people.
That's it, isn't it?
biggest thing that God ever did was speak to His people. And so it becomes, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And it becomes really important that we learn to hear God's voice. And as we were raising our kids, that verse stuck with me. And, you know, I got a kid doing what we do now at Wall Builders, and I got another one who's a helicopter pilot for the Army, and I got another kid who's Army wife. And our deal was, and we were on the road all the time with ministry stuff. We were doing, you know, hundreds of meetings a year, and we were traveling. We retired. We didn't fly in that day. We didn't. Yeah. We drove everywhere. We retired three Ford vans at 300,000 miles on each and another two at 250,000. So we drove millions of miles. And our objective in raising our kids was, I don't care if they do a thing that we're doing. We care that they learn to hear from God and do exactly what God wants them to do. And so that's the way we raised our kids, is don't do what Daddy and Mom do. Now, do what we do with character. Do what we do with studying the Scriptures. But the profession we're in, you be the profession God wants you to be in. You learn to hear God.
You know, you've heard that. Now, baby, you know, you can be anything you want to be, not and be a Christian.
That's right. That's right.
Because God has set each member in the body of Christ in the place that pleases Him. And He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His family and of His servants.
That's right.
So what you do, you can be and do anything God's called you to
do. That's right.
And that's where you're going to be the best.
That's right.
And that's where you're an individual. Better than anybody at
that. That's right. Yeah. It doesn't matter how anybody else does that. It's what and so if you can get your kids to hear God's voice, to learn to hear, like Samuel did, when you get them hearing God's voice, they will be in the perfect place to do the perfect thing, even if nobody in the history of the world has ever done that before. And that's fine. They don't have to be
that's
what you do.
That's one reason I'm convinced that a lot of young people are just bored to tears. Mm-hmm. Having stuff crammed down their throat that they have no desire to learn. And I was that way when I was young, and my children growing up, I told them, I said, now, I've committed before God that I'll help you with your education, and we'll get it done. But now, we're going to pray and seek God and find out what kind of education it is.
Right.
Well, John came to me and he said, Danny, I don't have any desire to go to college. He said, the only reason that I might want to go to college is to join a good baseball program somewhere, because he said, I'd kind of like to play pro ball. And he was gifted enough where he could have.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, on the other hand, you know, he said, the Lord's already blessed me with a good welding business. And he said, I'd have to take a cut and pay.
To go to college.
And to go to college. And he said, Daddy, I don't think that's reason enough to go to college. Mm-hmm. Well, I had to agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, okay. He said, but I would like to make this agreement with you. He said, if something comes along that God puts in my heart to learn, and I need to go to school to get it, does our agreement still cover that? I said, yeah, by all means, I'll stay with you. And that day came.
Yeah.
And he went to night school, made excellent grades in ranch management and husbandry. Well, then he wound up eventually as executive director of this ministry.
Family Ranch.
And he had to manage all his land out here
that
God had put in our
hands.
So, and enjoyed it, made great grades. All of our children went through that same path. But where God put them, they went at it, you know, with a vengeance.
That's right.
Man, and with a lot of passion and compassion.
You train their character, you train their spiritual foundation,
yes,
but you all try also train them to follow what God wants.
Follow
them to
the
do.
Word of God.
And that's what you got to do with your kids. And you know, and all of this, at looking at, because I am convinced, and we've talked in both weeks about God's up to something. He's doing something. He's made it really clear that He's got a visitation. And it's really easy to miss visitations. I mean, historically, it's really easy not to see what God's up to, or to try to put Him in a box, and He's not fitting that box, so He must not be doing something. Get that out of the way. He's doing something. So just figure out where you fit. The other thing that stands out to me as being so absolutely vital that is no longer part of our American culture is Proverbs 21:22. And Proverbs 21:22 talks about how that a wise man is offensive-minded, that a wise man attacks the city of the mighty. He tears down the stronghold in which they trust. And we have become somewhat comfortable, somewhat defensive. I've got good friends in the military like you do. And the National War College on the banks of the Potomac in Washington, D.C., they take the best and brightest military folks. Yeah. And they don't teach them how to fight wars. They teach them how to win wars. It's not, who wants to fight a war? Go win a war. So if you want, and the most famous course they teach is called the Nine Principles of War. And one really important point they make in the Nine Principles of War is defense is not part of it at any point in time.
Yeah.
It's only offense. They consider defense to be a temporary time whereby you're reorganizing to go back on offense. And so, you know, when we're told in the scriptures the gate of hell won't prevail, that means against offensive assaults. Gates don't go anywhere, they're stationary. But if you will assault that thing, if you will attack it, you can knock it down. Yeah. It will not prevail. Yeah. And so part of what I think we got to communicate is, look, we got to be offensive-minded. We got to be aggressive in doing this. We can't just let it come to us. We've got to be willing to step out and say, okay, if I'm going to follow my grace, I feel like I want to be violent, I got to be the best violin player. I got to go find the best teacher I can. I got to listen to God on how to do this. If I need to practice 40 hours a week, we got to be offensive minded. And so, and fitting into all of this, whatever grace He's got us, whatever we're going to do with people He brings across our path, we need to get that mentality that we're going to be on the offense with this.
Now, if you'll do that, God will arrange all that.
You betcha.
Some years back, I was singing in one of the conventions, and I felt something in my throat. It slipped, and it felt like somebody stuck a hot ice pick in there. Mm. And when I felt it happen, I immediately came off of that note. It was right at the end of it. I was singing "How Great Thou Art." And it came right at the end of that, and I just came off of it and went ahead and just by faith finished my message, and that was the closing service, Saturday night service of that convention and so forth. I really had a lot of pain in my throat. Well, of course, I went to the scriptures and appropriated my healing and so forth, and it wasn't but just a few days there until that pain subsided. But I could tell, yeah, I was having problems in there. And I prayed about that. I said, Lord, who am I going to go to talk about that? If you go to the doctor or something, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the preaching and the singing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, these are the instruments of my work.
That's right.
And the devil tried to, he threatened me with it, you know, and so he had to get past that, mm-hmm, and just tell him to shut up. This
That's
is in
right.
God's hands. I'm not quitting under any circumstance. Mm-hmm. Good friend of mine, pastor of church, and he was over at my house, and we were just talking about some things, and I said, Joe, I really would appreciate if you'd set yourself in agreement with me over this. I need you to stand with me about this. And I told him no more than what I just told you. He said, yeah, we'll pray about it, but I got the guy in my church can fix that. Really? Here is a man that right in the 1930s, right before World War II broke out, this guy was a Metropolitan Opera star.
Wow.
Young, full of fire. War broke out. He went to war and went up through the ranks and came out of the service of full colonel. In combat, he dove in behind a wall. There's a German machine gunner after him, and the wall fell on him and crushed his voice
wow.
box. He got out of the service and could hardly talk. He went back to the old maestro in France, got out all of his old studies and started back in working with that voice, working with that voice. Anyway, make a long story short, I called him. Yeah, Brother Kenneth, he said, I watch you on television and I enjoy your voice. And I told him what happened. He said, yes, I know. I said, what? He said, I heard it in your voice.
Wow.
And he said, I said, what can we do about this? He said, son, he was in his mid-70s then, early 70s. He said, oh, son, that's easy. And this guy, he was one of the tops in his field. Put him together with me. He not only fixed it, he helped me. He said, God made that thing to praise him with.
Yeah.
It improved, and I studied with him till he went home to be with the Lord.
That's good.
My goodness. I want you to watch this. There's a testimony here of one of our partners talking about this very same thing.
Good.
Now, this is Liz Joy. I want you to watch this.
My name is Liz Lemery Joy. I've been a stay-at-home mom for 22 years, and I've been a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries since 2002. When Brother Kenneth has David Barton on, those are some of my very favorites. I've learned so much about being involved in the political arena, and that the children of God are supposed to be steering the nation. The nation's not supposed to be steering us. So what if I'm a stay-at-home mom? So what if I don't have any training? So what if I've never written anything except in my diary, my journal? So what? I can get out there and do something. I went to this newspaper, the Times Union, which is the largest newspaper in the capital region, and spoke to them because I looked at their blogs. And they didn't have any conservative Christian blogs on there from a biblical perspective. Well, they weren't too keen on it, but they allowed me to do it. And praise God, since then, the blog itself, and I know that it's God, has drawn a lot of readership. And from that blog, I got a phone call from a man this last spring who was running for New York Senate. And he asked me if I would be on his campaign. My husband and I went to meet with him, and it turns out he's a born-again believer. And he had run in 2012, and he had lost the election by 18 votes. And we all prayed, and we all sought God on what to do for the campaign, and got involved, and God opened the doors, and we created a Vote the Bible campaign within his Senate campaign. And we went to as many churches as we possibly could to rally our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to get them to vote the Bible in the 2014 elections.
The people responded, and Liz Joyce celebrated a successful campaign as her candidate secured his seat in the Senate by over 10,000 votes. Liz continues to write her blog and share her message through special events, church services, radio, and television.
That's the thing about God. He'll take somebody that you least expect, the mom who stayed home for 22 years, and he'll stir things up, and if you're willing, he'll put you where you need to be. He'll open doors that need to open if you're just willing to give the message. And I'm just willing. I would go to bed at night and think every night, I have no idea what I'm doing. What have I gotten myself into? And then every morning, I would get up and say, oh God, I need your grace today. I need your wisdom. I need your grace. I need you to show me who to call, what to say, what to write. I am wholly dependent on you. Apart from you, I can do nothing, but with you, I can do all things.
Now, isn't that wonderful? I mean, Liz stepped right out of that comfort zone, didn't know how to do any of that.
Never blogged before.
Never blogged.
Never been in a political race.
No, didn't know how to do any of it.
None of it.
But my favorite thing in praising God, the thing that gives me more heart peace, is to say, "Sir, I am yours to command." Yeah. That yeah. just it just goes on.
And then when He gives you an inclination, follow
that. Do it.
Opens a door, walk through it.
Absolutely.
Go after it.
Absolutely. Every believer has a calling from God. Mm-hmm. Every one of us.
Every one of them.
He has a perfect plan.
That's right.
And you obey it. He will open doors that no man
it's
can shut.
It's an important
shut.
Calling. It's an important calling that other people can't do. It's important.
That's right. Absolutely.
It's got to be done.
It's vital, man.
Yeah.
For everything we're doing, it is a...
Every part has to function.
It is a vital concept.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that we never, ever let the devil control an election in this country again.
That's right.
That God's people rise up and step up and take their place.
That's right.
Then that gives God not only the right, but the mandate from His people to see to it that that person governs right, whether they really like it or not.
Well, people can just go to school board meetings, city council meetings, sit there and watch. They may not know what's going on. Just pray.
Just sit there.
We'll show you when stuff is going on. Just bring it to light. Simple stuff you can do that'll make a huge, huge impact.
It may turn out to be shocking where you wind up when you be obedient. In that, mm-hmm. and he'll make you master over much.
That's right.
It has to do with your financial blessing too.
Yeah.
Amen. Now that today is offering day, and that flows. It just flows right in and focuses now, as the word always does. Let him that's taught in the word respond to him that teaches in all good things. Excuse me. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now see, that's true in this whole thing we've been talking about. The moment you hear something from God, if you don't respond to God and sow your time, your thought, your money into what's happening there, it never will develop. But he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap Zoe, the life of God. Father, we pray over this offering today and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, whatever the Lord told you to do, do it. You are on your way. Hallelujah. It's been good. David, it's been wonderful.
It's been great, bro.
Amen. God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is
Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.